I'm interviewing one of the most, if not the most prominent businessmen in Westport, Albert E. Lees, Jr. He has lived here all his life. I am Mary Giles.
And I am Albert Lees, Jr.
Yes. You've done many types of work. How do you think you happened to arrive at this business of the supermarket?
Well, in reality, it was, so to speak, through the back door. I had a hardware business. I had a hardware business, and it actually, when the mill outlets came into being, the hardware business took quite a decline, and I thought it over, and I said, well, one way to probably stimulate some store traffic and bring people in it is to put in some groceries, because that seemed to be an active type business.
Yes.
So I put in some groceries and a
right,
few more groceries,
right,
mixed
in
with
the hardware.
Made it a general store. In other words, made it a modern general store.
Mm-hmm.
And as time went along, the tail wagged the dog, so to speak, and it became a grocery store, and less and less hardware. Hardware went into the background, and now we only have just impulse items, very little in the traditional hardware way of traditional
yes.
hardware.
I can
yeah.
remember that back in 1950, when we first came, you were working, it was a hardware store.
It was primarily a hardware store,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. In fact, that's about, and with clothing and a few, it was a general store without the groceries in those days. And
yeah.
then we put in the groceries.
Yeah.
yeah.
You've done a lot for the town that people don't know about. Let's talk about some of your ideas and interests which have helped Westport be a better place.
Well, I don't know whether...
That's a hard question.
Well, it's a hard question because I've never really thought of what I do. In other words, I just do it, and I do it because I want to, and I really try to stay in the background. I've always felt that a person that gave something and wanted all kinds of recognition for it and what have you was giving to try to receive something back. And I've never used my business or anything like that to for self-centered interest, so to speak.
I felt that. I've always felt
yeah.
that your image in the community is not up to the fact your contribution to the community because you have stayed in the background.
I like
so
to stay
much.
In the background. I feel as though I'm really contributing if I'm just doing it for the good of doing it, not for what it can bring. And I've really always felt that way.
Tell me something of your life as a child in Westport. What kinds of games did you play? Other kinds of recreation? What was school like and so on? Let's start with the kinds of fun you had.
Well, of course we did the traditional things such as sledding and in the winter and skating. Of course,
where'd
in those
you skate?
Days, oh, we skated on the ponds right down in the woods in back of here, right in back of the house that you live in now. And in those days, it was a major trip to go from here to Fall River, New Bedford. It was about an hour's drive mm-hmm. and over the old roads. And it would be quite a treat to go in, for example, to go in annually and buy a new pair of shoes with a, and I can remember that we always wanted the, what they call the high cuts in those days. They came, shoes that laced up almost to your knees
mm-hmm.
and it had a little jackknife pocket on the side.
Oh,
you
yeah.
never ever had a jackknife, but you had the pocket in case you ever got a jackknife and similar things to that. And because, you know, without realizing it, a lot of our play was work-oriented. It was a pleasure to go out and like work with the horses and bring in hay and what have you. And we didn't think of it as work. It was just something. It was pleasure. It was pleasurable work, so to speak. And we probably went to the city, I would say probably about once a month.
Mm-hmm.
that was, and it was also a treat to go in and get the homemade fish, not homemade, but restaurant fish and chips.
Yes.
That was a big treat.
Well, you know, I mean, even in David's day, which was not very long ago, did you put lots of ketchup?
Yeah, ketchup. It was just a great treat to go in about once a month, and we used to go to a place in Fall River by the name of Tattersall's on 2nd Street, and they've been out of business now for about 30 years or better, but they were the place to go, and it was a real treat, and you could smell the fish cooking, and for a country boy to go to the city, that was quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, certainly was. About school, your life in school, did you enjoy it? Was it?
Quite frankly, and speaking very frankly, yes, I didn't enjoy school.
Where did you go to school? Which school?
Well, I went through the Westport school system.
I know, but what?
But
you
I went to the Westport Point School. There were 4 grades down there. And early recollections would be there was a teacher by the name of Charlotte Medeiros, who taught 1st and 2nd grade. She was a teacher also. She taught my children. And she was with the school system a long time. And, of course, in those days, as you remember, you know, you remember when Dr. Britt used to come down and give the
inoculations.
Mm-hmm. And as I think back, it was quite a thing, because he used to give the inoculations in the front of the schoolroom, and you'd be sitting there at your desk, and he'd be up in the front, and they'd call up one child at a time. It was almost like going to the guillotine or something, because you were sitting here watching these children scream and holler, and I was, fortunately, my last name began with an L, so at least I got mine over with relatively fast, but somebody that had a W, a Wood or somebody, he had a problem. He had to sit there and watch the rest of these kids cry and everything. Then I went to the Booth's Corner School, which is no longer there. That's just north of the Village Garage. That building used to be a schoolhouse. And with no indoor plumbing at all. We didn't have any in it. Didn't know we ever needed it. So I went from there to the factory school and then to the high school, which is now the Milton Hill School.
Yeah.
But I wasn't a good student. I was very restless in school. I suppose that in those days I was just, they would think it was lack of attention. Today, I think they would probably say, well, there wasn't enough challenge.
Yes.
And I'm not sure, but I've done, I never went on to college, but I must have a certain amount of intelligence, or else I couldn't have accomplished what I did.
Everybody knows that all the bad boys are the bright boys, you know?
Right.
That story about you waiting for the inoculation reminds me of the fact that when we had the music teacher came once a week to our classroom, and each of us in turn had to get up and sing.
Yes.
And, when I got up to sing, I was so scared that I didn't carry a tune, and I was quite a laughing stock.
Yeah, we used to have almost exactly the same thing, and she would place us in categories, and the Bluebirds were the good singers and what have you, and there was myself and Tom Earl and Bob Wood, who ended up in the Crows. We were in the back row. But an interesting thing, a lady down at Westport Point by the name of Minnie Robbins, who was quite a nice, very nice, nice person. She had a radio program in New Bedford, and there were 5 of us, myself, and of course we were all the poor singers at the time. We went over, and we sang on her radio program. But that was back in the days when radio was still a novelty, you know.
Yeah.
And we sang America the Beautiful. I can still remember it. It's quite interesting.
That's marvelous.
But getting back to what was pleasure, this to us was pleasure.
Yeah.
This was our play thing, was this type of a thing.
Yeah.
We didn't need the amusement parks and what have you. They seem to feel they need today.
No. Did you work after school?
I always worked after school, worked before school. And I actually, I never, because my father was went into business after we left the farm here, we went down into Westport Point. Well, backing that up, he was in business in Westport Point, and then things got very, very bad. And he went farming as well as having the business in the summer. But then when things got a little better, you know, after the Depression and getting in towards World War II, he went back into business full-time. And we used to be open 7 days a week, and we used to open at 5 in the morning and close at 11 at night. So it used to be some long days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where was his business at the time?
Well, this is right on the wharf.
Mm-hmm. Right at the same
the fish market. Plate, yeah,
the fish it, market
yeah
you,
he bought it in 1929.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, it's been in the family since 1929.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think of you as a person who could have done many types of work well. Do you have any idea why you chose to become the proprietor of a large supermarket, or wasn't a choice, or did it just happen?
It basically just happened. The challenge was there, the opportunities were there, and I just more or less, so to speak, took an advantage
I
of the opportunities.
You've really answered my that yeah. question as we've gone along. How did it become as large as it is, do you think?
Well, I would be less than honest if I didn't say that I studied it in great depth, and most of the changes that I've made and the enlargements I've made have been after a lot of research, and I did a lot of it myself. For example, I got in my automobile, and because knowing the town and knowing the houses and when they were built approximately, I drove up and down the roads, and I projected what this population increase. We've had sort of a population
yes,
explosion in the last
have.
5 or 8 years. But I had projected this prior to that. And
yes.
so actually, you might call it intuition or native intelligence or what have you, I just was able to fortunately be able to put the pieces together and say, well, now, next year the town can support a business of such and such a size. So I would build prior to the town building and build in anticipation of what's going to happen. And that even happened with this last addition that I put on this spring. My business has mushroomed, and it almost appears as though it happened overnight, but it didn't. It's been coming for years, and I've built towards it.
Yes.
So it isn't something that just, it happened to fall into place, but it is something that I had pre-planned.
Yes. Well, I think you've answered this question, too. I was going to ask you what, as a native of Westport, what do the terms leisure time, recreation, and retirement mean to you? I'll ask you, since you talked about leisure time and recreation, I'll ask you, what does the word retirement mean when you think about it?
Well, I've put a lot of thought to retirement because I don't feel that I'm the type of an individual that can work as hard as I've worked over the course of years and then all of a sudden sit down in a chair and do nothing.
No.
And I love to fish, but I think that if you're talking retirement at age 65 or in that area, I'm not sure that I would have the physical stamina. I don't think my legs would take it. So retirement to me, and at this point in time, if I have my wish, I would like to do something different when I'm 55, which is
that's
relatively
10 years before
young.
The 65.
Right. But I would like to...
Did you tell me how old you were?
No, I didn't. I'm 47.
Mm-hmm.
And
let's say in 7 years.
7 or 8 years.
8 years.
My projected plan is my children will be educated. My mortgage will be paid off on my home and et cetera. And I should be in a position to be able to not do nothing, not just stop work. But I'd like to go into some other completely unrelated type of work. And it almost sounds as, I don't know how to describe it, but I would like to do some good.
Yes.
I don't know anything other way of describing it. Yes. I just like to be able to go out and
help other people.
Help other people, right? Because I've been very, very fortunate in my lifetime, much more fortunate than many other people, and I'd like to share some of my experiences. Now, whether this means helping other people in business, such as the SCORE program or something like this, I don't know. I haven't got a predetermined...
No, you haven't. It hasn't been worked out.
It hasn't
out
been
yet.
Worked out.
It hasn't gelled.
And I didn't think that I would try to work at it. I thought I'd just let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As they happen, as you do this for other people, do you think of your business carrying on without you, or do you think of perhaps turning it over to someone else?
Well,
is that
a fair question? No, it's a fair question, because right now I've been having discussions with my son. My son is going to be a senior in college, and he is being placed in a difficult position, because I don't want him to think that I am more or less pressuring him to come into the business, but I don't want him to think that I'm pushing him out either. So it is, we've both been sort of fencing back and forth, and I think that he, speaking of my son in particular, I think he has enough ambition, enough drive, that he doesn't want to have something handed to him, mm-hmm. so that somebody 10, 15 years from now would say, well, you couldn't have made it on your own, your father gave it to you. Mm-hmm. But in answer to what I would do with it, I would only sell it to, if I did have to sell it to accomplish my goals, I would only sell it to the type of an individual that I thought would be good to Westport. I've prided myself that I try to be fair. You can't please all the people all the time, but yeah. I do try to. When somebody comes in and they buy a pound of hamburg, there's 16 ounces in the pound. It isn't a 15 and a half ounce package or something like that. And we can make errors, there's no question. Everybody is human, but I've never tried to take the attitude that I was going to try to get all that I could out of everybody. And I would want somebody else, whoever followed me in business, to do that.
You have any plans of, I just got back from England and it made a new woman of me. Do you have thoughts of travel?
I love to travel. Speaking of the way back, we spoke of the tail wagging the dog. Right now the tail is wagging the dog. My business mushroomed to such a point that I haven't had time to really get out and do. I haven't been fishing in 2 months, and I used to fish, you know, at least twice a week. But I'd love to travel. I really enjoy it.
Even in foreign countries and so.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. I've been to Europe. I've been to England, Scotland. I'm of Scot heritage.
Yes.
And, visited with many of my relatives up there. And,
you want to go back?
I'd like to go back. They're good people.
I think the English, the Scotch, and the Welsh, they're all the only place, this is all the only place I've ever been outside of this country, except Mexico and mm-hmm. Canada, are simply marvelous people, and I can't wait to go back.
The other place that I really enjoyed, because I think the people make a country,
yeah.
And the other place that I've, the only other place in the world that I've enjoyed as much as Scotland, or, you know, well, I'm very American, there's no question. I think the United States is the best country in the world.
Yes.
But Holland, the Dutch people are very, very, they're beautiful people.
You feel the way my brother did, my older brother. He went to Europe quite often. When he came back, he always said, you must see Holland. Well,
right.
I haven't seen that.
Well, I would agree with him. Next time you go to Europe, you must see Holland.
Well, you know, I was taken to Europe by mm-hmm. a friend to England and Scotland and Wales, and I protested long hours about being taken because I thought I didn't want to be obligated to someone, but it worked out very well, and uh-huh. it certainly did a great deal for me. We've talked a little bit about this next point I wanted to ask you about, but it hasn't been discussed very thoroughly. You do have two children.
I have a boy and a girl.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that they have found Westport a good place to grow up in?
They definitely have found Westport a good place to grow up in, and as they are going through college and so to speak, getting thrust out into the world, they very, very much resist the idea of moving to any other part of the country. And just recently, well, for their birthdays, because one has a birthday in June, the other in July, I gave each one of them a house lot, a building lot, in on Horseneck Road. And that was probably meant more to them than anything I've ever done. Just so they can have a piece of land in Westport. They're very, very much Westport oriented. So they must have found it a pleasure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And do you think their recreation and their play and life was very different from yours?
There's no question. No question. Because
what were some of the major differences?
Well,
now,
they had Little League. My son had Little League when he was growing up. My daughter, they grew up in the day of the automobile. They grew up in the. Now my son is 21, and he doesn't ever remember not having a television mm-hmm. in the house. So he grew up from a tiny baby, and my daughter also. Knowing the world news, and they're more sophisticated than I was at their age, that's for sure. But like, they've been water skiing and Little League and camping and hiking and a lot of things. They were not as work oriented as my generation was, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I don't feel as though I was denied anything by not. Having all these other pleasures, but it was just the conditions of the time.
Well, you have already indicated that your work and play merged.
They merged, right.
So completely
yeah.
that...
But there again, see, my children never grew up on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And so that what we considered fun on a farm, they would probably consider work, as you said.
Or hard work.
Hard work, right. Yeah. When you speak of pleasure years ago, I grew up, let's see, if you go through the woods, it's probably about a mile from your home right here. And in those days, they're all woods paths, they call
yeah.
it, for the horses and wagons, all through the woods. And it used to be a real treat to take a hike down through the woods and down to this house here, visit with Mabel and watch her goats. And she even gave us a goat one time. We had a goat, we had it home. Daisy May lived in the house with us.
They lived with her?
Yes, right. Yeah, well, I think it was maybe because Mabel had her. And then to walk back, and it would take up a half a day, and it was a very pleasurable time. And I think that probably some of the kids today growing up are not aware of the fact that simple pleasures sometimes are just as great as some of the things that they think, going to a movie. I very seldom go to the movies today because I'd rather go down to Horseneck Beach and sit on a sand dune and look at the ocean.
Yes.
You know?
I worry about this a great deal and wonder how this present culture of ours can be changed in such a way that the young do have some of the experiences that we have.
I don't know as they really would want them.
Well, they might not want them, but we found them so valuable.
Yeah, but I agree. We found them valuable, but I'm not sure that we can project it to our children, is what I'm saying.
It's a whole new world.
It's a whole new world to them, and see, getting back to television, they're so sophisticated watching television that they don't even watch these rockets that take off and fly around the in outer space. And I'm still amazed by them.
Yes.
But my children, to them, it's such a normal, everyday thing. And so I guess that they... and yet, I think that they're having fun in their way.
Well, I'd like to close this interview with a great big thank you, and then turn to you to ask you for some help for some projects for the future of Westport.
Mm-hmm. Well,
thank you very much.